Shot with Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I see
him in my shot. Good morning and welcome in to the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We got Shay, we got Charlie, we got you in a Hoodwink Tuesday still to come. We will hear from Albert Breer, his thoughts about the Bears in the NFL. But right now, it's time for Shot or No Shot, and it's brought to you by...
That would be Points Bet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. Download the Points Bet app, get the lightning bets, the same game parlays, and if you want to play the horses... Good morning, Secretariat. Miss you. That would be the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. We say good morning to Snorley.
Here's Shay Norley. Shay?
Good morning, boys. How we doing?
Rock and roll.
Let's get right into it. It is meat and cheese week. Doesn't really feel like it because the rivalry to me feels somewhat diminished given the context of both teams. The Packers, 4-8. The Bears, 3-9. Make up two of the 10 worst teams in the NFL. And both teams may be starting backup quarterbacks Sunday at Soldier Field. Aaron Rodgers said he will play if he is cleared to play. But my question, shot or no shot, the only way the Bears have a chance to win is if Fields plays and Rodgers doesn't.
That's no shot. Who wrote that question? That's awful. That Packers team with him stinks. Yes, we could beat them. 100%. Now, if it's Simeon, probably not. If it's Justin and he's cleared and he can run, I don't care if Aaron Rodgers is back there with a cape on. No, we could beat them. Bad question.
You think it's a bad question?
I do.
Say it again.
The only way the Bears have a chance to win is if Fields plays and Rodgers doesn't.
Yeah, just the bad shoulder, man. I mean, he can't win with a half a shoulder.
No, but if he plays, if he's cleared.
Yeah, but still. Cleared, what does that really mean? Is he playing without pain? His legs are still tired. I mean, I'm sure he's achy, if nothing else.
Well, every football player is achy.
Yeah.
Waddle's achy walking in here.
And the shoulder, though. Yeah, I would say no shot. They can't win. I don't think they could win either way.
So wait, you're saying he's correct?
Saying what?
I'm not offering an opinion.
Right, you're just asking a question.
Yeah.
So are you saying shot that they can't win unless Fields plays and Rodgers doesn't?
No, they can't win, period, the Bears.
I disagree.
They can't win this game.
The Packer team stinks.
No, they don't stink now. No, they might be underachieving offensively, but they don't stink.
Their defense looks terrible.
No, they don't stink. I know what stink looks like. I see blue and orange every week.
Yeah, well, our team's bad.
Yeah.
But, yes, we could beat them. But probably both guys won't go. Who knows? We'll see.
Shay.
I do think this Packer team stinks, by the way. It kind of relates to where my next question is heading. Both of these teams being as bad as they are and the potential for two backup quarterbacks to be the starters, if it does end up being Trevor Siemian or... God forbid, Nathan Peterman against Jordan Love. Mm-hmm. Shot or no shot? This is the most meaningless Packers-Bears game you can remember.
That's a shot. That's a shot. Usually, the Packers are the hammer and the Bears are the nail.
Mm-hmm.
Usually.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not even getting that. We have both teams that are bad. And again, growing up watching this rivalry, you know, I grew up watching the Bears just pound the Packers in the 80s. Just the Ditka Bears moving forward. And then when Favre comes in, now that changes their fortunes altogether. So now it's the Packers that has the better of the rivalry. So, yeah, it's kind of bland. I mean, Joey, this game is not like it normally is, right? Bears-Packers. It doesn't feel like Bears-Packers week, does it, Joey?
This is the stink bowl.
All right. Go ahead, Shay. What else do you have?
By the way, that's a shot. It is. A bad game.
Yeah. See, I'm an outsider, so I don't know like the emotion that lives in this rivalry anyway. Like, I've seen it my whole life living in the NFC North. I get it, but is there still, like, do you still get up for this, Cap?
I do because yes. I'm a meatball. I grew up here. I was raised that we don't like the Packers.
We love the Bears and Packers rivalry, especially when the Bears win.
So, yeah, so I'm going to go to work Sunday and watch the game with my guys and be fired up.
Yeah. I mean, listen. I mean, Joey, you still love the Bears-Packers rivalry, don't you?
Yes.
Go ahead, Shay.
All right, let's switch gears to the Bulls. Billy Donovan agrees with the two of you regarding the need for patience around young players in the NBA. He pointed out Wendell Carter and Lauri Markkanen as players who were left Chicago too early, and he's pleading for patience with Patrick Williams as he develops. Donovan is right about needing patience, but with the rapid development of players like Lauri and Wendell after leaving Chicago, shot or no shot, the Bulls have a player development issue.
That's a no-shot because they changed their entire player development department when they brought in AK, Billy, and Mark Eversley and company. Like, player development, this is not, I'm not exaggerating here. Player development under Gar and Pax was Sean Respert, the former Michigan State player.
Yeah.
I believe was that was his job.
That's correct.
Now there
are Sean, don't you? Don't you, Shay? Sean Respert?
Now they've got multiple people working in player development, but it takes time. This kid is 21 years of age. I think Markkanen just hit another three. Charlie's got them all back there. I mean, come on. Lauri Markkanen sucks. Get him out of town. And now he's 25, and he had 32 last night. Bang, seven threes. Whoa! Buddy of mine calls me. I'm watching the game. That guy looks so much better. Yeah, no blank. You wanted him out of here at age 20.
I would say that is a no shot. They don't have a development problem because the only young player, the young player on this team is Patrick Williams. So we will see the next, like this year, the next year, how he develops. But you have more young players to determine player development as far as young players.
It's going to take time.
Yeah. So I would say no shot to that at this point in time. But I'll tell you what, 2 years ago, Shay, for sure, the city was on fire because the Bulls could not develop young talent. Because we're talking about, you know, ineptitude in the front office and the head coach as well.
Who was the last guy that knew player development? And you can just stack them up of all the players he helped develop. That would be Tom Thibodeau.
It's true. Shay.
All right, we all assumed it would happen this offseason, but now officially the Jose Abreu era on the South Side has come to an end. Abreu signed a 3-year, $60 million deal with the Houston Astros. It ends his time in Chicago, and it starts a new era for him with the defending champions. My question, shot or no shot, at this price, letting Abreu walk was the best move for the Sox.
That's a shot. Doesn't mean you can't be sad like Hoodie. That's his favorite player on his favorite team. I get it. $60 million guaranteed for a guy. His birth certificate says he's 36.
All right. Now
I wouldn't be shocked if he's really 40.
All right. Nobody asked the Border Patrol to come
pools?
In here. Nobody asked the Border Patrol to step in there. Nobody asked you.
We can't trust the records. Okay. How many times have we seen the records from Cuba or from Latin America where they say, well, that player is way older than anyone? People were talking about certain guys were like 5 years older, but they say they're younger so they can get signed.
All right, Cap. That's enough.
But I'm not giving him $60 million.
Okay,
I'm not.
That's fine, but that's enough of that.
I'm just being honest.
Okay. That's enough.
Why do you have a problem with my honesty?
No, it's fine with the honesty, but again, let's not check birth certificates now. The man is 36. That's what it says in the back of the baseball card.
I'm not sure that's accurate.
All right. Oh, how old do you think he is? I think he's a 42-year-old man.
I can tell you, this might be the most shocking left turn on a shot or no shot question in my time asking shot or no shot.
38?
All right. Just keep your beak out of his age. He's fine.
I'm not paying him $60 million guaranteed. Love him. Great dude. A hell of a player.
So as a talent,
sorry.
So as a talent evaluator, is that on the top of your list? How old really is Jose
Abreu?
That
would be one of my questions.
At the top?
Yes.
Okay. All right. But does he play like a 36-year-old?
Yeah, his power's decreasing.
Okay.
Imagine GM Cap sitting down with Jose Abreu during contract negotiations, just lowering his glasses to the end of his nose.
That's what he does.
Looking down his nose. How old are you?
38. No, really. 39. Seriously. 42.
Yeah, that's more like it.
All right, DH.
Like, I've got a friend from Cuba. He's one of my best friends, Billy Alvarez.
Yes. How old is he?
He says he's 64.
What do you think?
71.
All right, that's enough.
Billy tells me all the time.
All right.
They do anything to get off the island, David.
Okay.
That's what he keeps telling me.
All right. Go ahead, Shay.
It's like that scene in The Benchwarmers. He's handing over a birth certificate that's a taped picture and a writing in crayon says, I am 12.
That's enough.
I never saw that movie. Go ahead.
All right. And Aaron Rodgers' question. He injured his ribs in a loss to the Eagles on Sunday Night Football. And believe it or not, Jordan Love put nothing but good reps together late. Mm-hmm. Gave the Packers a slight chance to actually be in that game. Rodgers still awaits test results. He'll be on Pat McAfee later today and probably speak about this. But he said he will play against the Bears if he's cleared. Matt LaFleur has also echoed that sentiment. But my question, shot or no shot, the Packers mathematically are still in it, but realistically, the playoffs are out of the pictures. Shot or no shot, the Packers should shut down Aaron Rodgers.
That's a shot if he's not, if his ribs are hurting that badly. To see him leave that game Sunday, I said, well, he must be really in pain if he's not playing, because he doesn't want to give that seat to Jordan Love at all. He wants Jordan Love to sit there on ice like he did when he's behind Favre. So he must have really been in pain.
Yes.
If he is hurt, this is the same thing with Justin. If Aaron is hurt, you probably shouldn't play anymore, and they need to evaluate what Jordan Love is. I would say shot to that.
Yeah, but if they're still alive and he is medically cleared, he plays.
I don't even know what that means. A shot of Toradol, do you shoot up ribs? Or whatever his issue is?
I don't know. Call me, Olin. I don't know.
Toradol?
It sounds like it's even worse, the stuff. And he's got a broken thumb, too.
Correct.
He shouldn't play if he's not 100%. You're right.
Disagrees. 38? 37?
Well, how do you know? He's an American.
He's from here.
Okay. See, that's unbelievable. Can you believe that, Shay? I mean, it's unbelievable.
Hey.
You learned this from Judge Gene Pirro again.
Oh, my God.
It's like watching Judge Gene. He's not an American. He's 42. Next.
Wow.
All right. Coming up next, we go around the National Football League. Oh, boy. The press is getting after Lovie Smith in Houston. Hear that next.
Captain Jay Hood.
Is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners. He starts to come and then he falls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
It's time to go around the NFL on Captain Jay Hood here on ESPN 1000. We've got so much to get to. Shay, take it away, man. We got so much to get to before we get to Albert Breer at 8:35.
Yeah, we do have a lot to get to. Yeah. And I'm going to start with a former Bears coach, Lovie Smith. Hoodie, you brought this to us. Apparently, he's been like basically at war with Houston media all season. Now, we know it may have been a disingenuous hiring. The last two hirings in Houston, David Culley and now Lovie Smith, have kind of felt disingenuous as they find holdovers until it's acceptable for them to hire Josh McCown. But let's play some of this, Charlie. Lovie Smith going to war with the Houston press.
Let's have somebody else. We could turn this into you and me forever. Let's let someone else ask a couple questions, and then we'll come back to you. How about that? We'll get you. We're not going to leave until you. Let's let everybody else, and we'll come back to you. All right? And, Jonathan, I can figure out who I want to answer to. I don't need your help with that. Thank you. Does anyone else have another question first? All right. And then we'll come back to you. How's that, Brooks? Is that okay with you, John? Thank you.
Oh man!
So was that John McClain?
He has been with a pitchfork going after Lovie Smith. No, seriously, like because they're 1-9-1, and he's asking all these empty seats here at this stadium. What are you guys trying to do here? And Lovie is going back and forth with the media. It is now. Let me tell you, Lovie knows what's going on because they're trying to get the number one pick in the draft, but it's not going over well with the Houston media at all. And you think he had a tough year, Cap. He's taking a beating in Houston.
A beating.
You heard that. Yeah. Have you heard him that contentious?
No.
A little bit, right, with Chicago.
Okay, so true story.
But this here, He's controlling who's talking and like, whoa. Like, it's not good.
Okay, so he was here. And I know the players loved him. All of them that played. We love playing for love. He was an arrogant SOB at the podium. Arrogant. And
or confident.
Arrogant. And he tells one of the Chicago media, why don't you all treat me like the head football coach at the University of Oklahoma? What I say is law. This isn't Oklahoma. It's Chicago. You haven't been in the playoffs in a while. Mm-hmm. I don't see any rings on your finger. And he grabbed, you know who Andrew Seligman is? The big, tall, redheaded guy from the Associated Press?
Yep.
He's as nice a guy and as harmless a guy as there is. He just simply reports the facts. Are you making any coaching changes to your staff? It's when they fired Mike Martz. That's not the time to ask that. He asked it again. They break up. Andy, coach would like to see you in the wide receivers room. Pulls him in and airs him out. Don't ever ask me a question when I told you I'm not going to answer it. Who the hell does Lovie Smith think he is? You get paid a lot of money, man. You better deliver.
Head coach of the Chicago Bears at the time and now struggling with the Texans. All right, Shay.
1-9-1?
Yep.
Wow.
Shay?
All right, nobody watched Monday Night Football last night, but we did. And I want to talk about what happened at the end of that game. Jeff Saturday, the Colts had the ball, chance to tie, driving down the field. And Jeff Saturday decided he was going to take his timeouts home, his leftovers, reheat them later. He didn't want to use them in the game.
Yeah.
Let's hear from him on why he didn't want to use these timeouts.
I thought we had plenty of time. I wasn't really concerned. We still had timeouts, so I wasn't too concerned. I really wanted to, when he was going down, I couldn't tell where they were going to start him from going down. Right, if he was going to get the first down, and then we got there, I expect us to get on the ball and have another play a little bit quicker than that. But again, this wasn't a press for time. We just didn't make enough plays.
What do you mean it wasn't a press for time? Does he understand that the time ticks down to zero? What is he talking about?
I don't know.
Three timeouts, an opportunity to try to win the ball game, and he says we weren't pressed for time.
47 seconds left, by the way.
Not pressed for
ticking
time?
Down. Three timeouts. Don't use them.
Neophyte.
Maybe he thought it was college, and if you get a first down, the clock stops.
It
kind of
sounded like that's what he was going at, too, when he started talking about I didn't know where they were going to mark him down, whether it was a first down.
Didn't feel like time was really of the essence.
Yeah. How about that? It's only the NFL. No time. So, time, that it's... It's either him or my wife should be coaching the Indianapolis Colts, because she doesn't value time either. it is amazing.
Maybe he thought they're like cell phone minutes. They roll over from month to month.
I don't know what it was, man.
Six in the first half of the next game.
That's what happens.
That's it.
We have inexperience at the head coaching position.
Coach, why didn't you use the timeout? Because I got six the first half of the next game.
Oh, let me
carry those over.
And Shay, let me brace you, right? I'll say it now before you start seeing it on these TV shows and the talk shows. Well, he had to take experience with Bradley and Fox and other guys, or Matt Ryan, who's been there and done that. No, as a head coach, you actually should be calling timeout. Because I know people will fade the heat to the more experienced coaches. No, you're the head coach Saturday. Plug up the headset and call timeout. How about that? Three timeouts? Time wasn't of the essence.
I didn't get it.
Shay.
Things are getting a little worse in Denver. We didn't know that they could get worse, but Russell Wilson has not gotten better. If you've had sex more than 9 times since September, you've scored more than Russell Wilson has this fall.
Wow. Why happened that way?
Mike Purcell, the defensive tackle, was screaming at his own quarterback during the game.
Yeah, saw that on the sideline.
Yeah, that was an ugly thing, but heat of the moment. Stuff happens.
Well, I mean, it depends on how Russ took it. I mean, he shook his head yes in affirmation and affirmation, but I don't think he liked that. I have not made a call, but I imagine that he did not like that at all be shown up.
Correct.
Because with Russ, it is about winning, but it also is about image with him.
To whom much is given, much is expected. He got $250 million. He wanted out of Seattle. Much is expected, and you have not delivered.
That's all right. There'll be a new head coach in there next year.
But it's not on the coach. Melvin Gordon, who just signed Kansas City, Melvin Gordon said, I like playing for Hackett. He's a good football coach. He's learning, but they're not performing for him. That's not on him. Shay.
You'll see what happens. Yeah. It's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, the coach will become the fall guy.
Early in the season, we talked about his clock management issues. He had to hire someone to help him with clock management. You're the head coach. You need someone in the box to help you?
Well, Belichick has one.
Belichick knows football.
He does, but he has a guy that runs the coach, take a timeout. Coach, do not take a timeout here. They all got him.
Shay?
All right, I have two non-football stories, both related to the NFL, I want to get into. The first, Odell Beckham Jr., prize free agent, rumored to be either a Bill, Cowboy, or Giant, but most likely a Cowboy, fell asleep on a plane, couldn't wake up, and then had to be taken off by the police over the weekend. Did you see this?
I did see that.
Ugly scene.
It was ugly. That will not deter him from trying to get onto another team, but just to see that, it's like, what's going on? I saw his tweets afterwards, like, I've never experienced this before, blah, blah, blah. Unfortunate situation.
Yeah, and he's on his tour of different teams. And I know, I think it was Dallas, said it was a medical emergency, no issues. So I don't know.
Shay.
And this final one is about Aaron Rodgers. Now, DeShone Kizer was a one-year quarterback. He played at, I believe, Notre Dame, right?
He did.
And ended up with the Packers for a season where he learned under Aaron Rodgers in 2018. He gave an interview to Adam Brenneman. This thing is 148 minutes long. It's a Lord of the Rings movie. And in this, he discusses his first meeting with Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
He claims Aaron Rodgers shut the door, and the first thing that came out of his mouth was, do you believe in 9/11? Kizer said. What? Do I believe in 9/11? Yeah, why wouldn't I? Rodgers then said, you should read up on that. And then we just started learning about the playbook.
That's weird.
That's really
weird.
It's
an odd question.
It is.
Is that how you would lead, Shay, when you try to talk to somebody? Do you believe in 9/11?
He's vetting everybody's conspiracy theory knowledge. That's what he's doing.
It's weird.
Mr. Ayahuasca, Mr. Whatever else, is vetting conspiracy theory knowledge of every Packers draft pick.
Okay.
That's odd.
All right. Do you have 1 minute for snarling you, Shay? If I hit you with five quick hitters,
yeah,
can you
do it?
Got to do it in a minute, though. You ready?
I'm ready.
Just your initial
lightning round.
Your
Go.
Initial thought.
Fire away.
What do you think of Matt Rhule getting the Huskers job? 8 years, $74 million. Well, how good will the Huskers be now?
Meh. That's my take. Meh. It's a bad job. It's not what it once was. Scott Frost was the legend. You bring him in, doesn't work, you're dead. That's what I think.
Do you think Deion Sanders will take another job? He confirms that he's been offered a job at Colorado. Do you think he'll take another job? Will he leave Jackson State?
Yes, but not for Colorado. Florida State was the spot. I don't think they're going to fire Mike Norvell at this point. Maybe another year at Jackson State, see what happens next year.
What's a great landing spot for McNamara, the former Michigan coach? He enters the transfer portal.
Michigan
quarterback. What did I say?
Coach.
I'm sorry, Michigan quarterback, McNamara.
Washington.
Okay. What do you think of Auburn hiring Hugh Freeze, and will he coach from his hospital bed?
The SEC didn't want him to, but he's a football guy, so yeah. I don't know what the hell's going on at Auburn. Their boosters run the program. Nobody else has any oversight, so we'll see what happens.
Just don't hire hookers or try to with the school phone.
Lastly, one more.
That was his issue.
So Michigan defeats Ohio State. How loose is the leash on Ryan Day, the head coach of Ohio State?
It's tightening. I think next year, look, Cap says he's 45-5. Obviously, he is 45-5. Ohio State's standard's a little higher than that. Five losses in that amount of time. You're talking about a school where Tressel had like one over 7 years, where Urban Meyer came in and was undefeated for four seasons. Undefeated. Their standard is winning national titles. It's not winning Big Tens. It's certainly not getting blown out by Michigan consecutive seasons. Frankly, old players, former players, there's whispers they don't like Day. There's whispers that because he's an outsider, he doesn't understand the workings of Ohio State or the importance of the rivalry. I think the leash is getting very, very tight. Next year, he starts coaching for his job.
He's a pumpkin
in big games.
3-0 as the interim. 13-1, 7-1 pandemic season. 11-2, 11-1. They're not firing him.
That's not the standard. The point is, you're thinking about it in terms of any program. They'd be happy to have that. Ohio State is a different standard.
All right, coming up, we'll hear from Albert Breer, and you can hear Snorling You, by the way, in the Cap'n J Hood app. You need some college football conversation, make sure you hit up Snorling You. It's in the Cap'n J Hood feed weekly on the ESPN Chicago app. Albert Breer, next on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bah, 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 bah. And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000.
Hello.
Football on ESPN 1000.
Hello, Bert.
Albert Breer.
Hey, Bert.
Senior NFL writer for SI.com joins Cap'n J Hood.
Bert's it.
What? You're it, Bert.
On ESPN 1000.
What do you mean I'm it?
Well, you see, that's the game. I just tagged you, and you're it until you tag somebody else.
Albert Breer.
No, I'm not playing a game. I'm reading, Ernie, and I'm not it.
Okay.
On Chicago's Home for Sports.
But Bert is it.
Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback, SI.com, joins us every Tuesday. I retweeted it. The new MMQB is out. There's some great stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
Albert was the first one to break the story that Justin had apologized to the defense after the Bears lost on that tipped interception and the game against Atlanta. Albert, good morning. How are you, my man?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're good. Great. We were a little worried about you, wondering if you've recovered from the beatdown in Columbus.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that. I mean, it really sucked. There's no getting around it. It really sucked. But we had 20 years where, I mean, they had one legitimate win over us, so I guess that had to swing back around at some point. And now our coaches have a lot of work to do to get that fixed.
Another 365 days, as Day said before, leading into that game on Saturday, right?
Yep, that's right.
Is he in trouble at all?
I think with another loss he might be. But at this point, he's been to the college football playoff twice. He's the only coach in the Big Ten who has a college football playoff win. He's won two Big Ten titles. Look, like the standard is that you have to compete for national titles and beat Michigan, there's no two ways around that. That's what the standard is. That's why John Cooper got fired. That's why Jim Tressel and Urban Meyer had their names up in the stadium, So eventually it can't just be Big Ten titles. It can't just be, we beat Michigan sometimes. You got to beat them all the time, and you have to eventually win a national title. And so, you get to next year would be his fifth year, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
So fifth year, and, if you wind up 1-3 against Michigan, and, they ducked us in 2020, so maybe you say 2-3 should be the record. But if they, if you get to 1-3 against Michigan and no national titles through 5 years, then obviously I think there's some fair questions to ask.
Albert, we know where the Bears are going, and we know where the Texans are going as well. Do you believe overall that tanking works in the NFL?
It's a good question. I think the problem with it, Hoodie, is that it has to be like in the right year. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's so valuable to have one of these quarterbacks. But you look at the way that some of the best teams in the league got their quarterbacks, and it wasn't through tanking. The Chiefs were a playoff team the year they drafted Patrick Mahomes. They just traded up to get him. The Bills were a playoff team the year they drafted Josh Allen. They traded up to get him. The Ravens let Lamar Jackson fall into their lap. Now the Bengals had the first overall pick, so that's, the other way you can go, where sometimes there's a player really special atop the draft, and you have to have the first pick in the right year to be in position to take that guy. So there are different ways to look at it, but I'd say generally the answer is usually like probably not, you have to be bad the right year. And Indianapolis is a good example of it. Like, they just happened to be bad in the two exact right years. And even then, they couldn't build well enough around Andrew Luck to make that work, there are a lot of factors that go into it, but, clearly finding a way to get a great young quarterback is the fastest way to establish yourself as a great team. And I know a lot of fans out there think the best way to get a great young quarterback is to be bad.
So if you look at where Justin is right now, I know you liked him coming out of the draft. Hoodie and I believe he is the future of this franchise. Would you shut him down, or would, if he said, I can go Sunday against the Packers, would you let him play?
I'd be careful. You know, I think it's all based on the risk of re-injury. You know, like that's what I would be worried about. Now, I don't want developing bad habits either. And that's the other thing an injury can do is, you know, it can make you kind of lose some of the things that you've learned and maybe slip fundamentally a little bit. So I'd be really careful about that. But I think the big thing is, you know, you want the kid to have a full off season. And I really think that that's the important thing. And so, you know you're not going to the playoffs now. You know you're going to have a high draft pick. You know you've got a good foundation based on what you've done with Justin this year. So you've got a lot of boxes checked off right now. To me, like, the most important thing right now is if you do put him back out there, you're not risking re-injury where you're going to be putting him in a position where rather than lifting and running and practicing and all that stuff in the off season, he's rehabbing. You don't want to be there.
If you are the Green Bay Packers and you know that Aaron Rodgers is hurting the ribs, also the broken thumb, is it Jordan Love time moving forward?
Not yet, because I just think, you know, like the important thing here, Hoodie, is the way the roster is built, you know, and that roster is still very much a win now roster with win now players on it. And so I think until you're absolutely out of it, and they aren't absolutely out of it yet because the NFC is still pretty soft. And I think, you know, there's a decent chance an 8-loss team gets in as a wild card. I don't think you shut them down. Now, I do think, like, you're getting to the point with Jordan Love where if you get, you know, 5 or 6 games, you know, on tape to look at who Jordan Love is, because you're going to have to make a decision on his fifth-year option after this year. That would be I hesitate to call it a consolation prize because they were so – their goals were in a certain place coming into this year. But it would be kind of a nice benefit to what's been a rather disastrous year for them. So I would say I'm not pulling the plug on Aaron Rodgers until you're completely out of the race. But certainly I think that there's some merit to really trying to get an idea of what you have in Jordan Love. And it could wind up, you know, informing your decision making on Aaron Rodgers at some point too.
More with Albert Breer. We will talk about quarterback tiers and more after this.
Charlie.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Cap and Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000, is streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. The Indianapolis Colts, they lose last time on Monday Night Football by a score of 24-17. Three timeouts with the game on the line. Jeff Saturday, let's get your thoughts. All right, Charlie, give me Jeff Saturday on not calling a timeout.
I thought we had plenty of time. I wasn't really concerned. We still had timeouts, so I wasn't too concerned. I really wanted to, you know, when he was going down, I couldn't tell where they were going to start him from going down, right? Like if he was going to get the first down, and then we got there. I expect this to get on the ball and be and have another play a little bit quicker than that. But again, this wasn't a press for time. We just didn't make enough plays.
Life is so much easier, Albert Breer, at the set on ESPN, isn't it?
Yeah. Climate controlled. Whatever you say, there aren't really consequences as much. I really like Jeff, but you know, I think that there were legitimate questions, you know, coming into this, like what this is going to look like, and I think one of the big things is, you know, like the in-game stuff that a coach is responsible for, right? And being able to make those decisions under the gun. And game management is a huge part of the head coach's job. And, certainly I think it's fair to criticize him. I also thought it was interesting how in the broadcast last night, it seemed like everybody was blaming Matt Ryan for it. You know what I mean? Like, so, I feel like this is the sort of thing that, like, a lot of coaches were pointing to and saying, well, you know, is this going to work? Is there any way that this is going to work? And
Does he really understand how complicated that job is and how many different things you're managing at once? And, you know, it's part of the reason why guys work 15, 20 years to get into that job is because, you know, there are certain points during the week and in games where you're having to manage a lot of different things at once. And, you know, certainly, you know, at the end of a close game is one of those situations.
So let's talk about Deshaun Watson, because they have a top five offense. I know a lot of it's predicated on a great run game, but their offense by any measure is top five, yet he's going to put Brissett on the bench and he's going to start right away, correct?
Yeah, and the crazy thing is, like, I think we all sort of felt like coming into the year, based on the talent on that roster, the question was, can Jacoby keep them afloat through 11 weeks? And I don't think Jacoby's the problem at all. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
So, like that, and I think that's sort of what you're getting at here, Cap. And, you know, their defense has been the issue, you know, for most of the year. And their defense played better on Sunday against Tampa. And they were able to pull one out, and Jacoby made a couple of great throws down the stretch there. You know, the one to Joku in the end zone to force overtime, and then, of course, you know, the big one down the sideline to Amari Cooper to set up the game winning touchdown. So, yeah, I mean, I think that it's interesting because I do think that there is, you know, a little pressure on Deshaun based on how well Jacoby played and based on how the offense has gone. Now, is that coming from inside the building? I don't think so. You know, I think inside the building, the way they look at this is, you know, this was always going to be a transition year. They knew the suspension was coming when they traded for him. And, you know, like at the very least, what they want to do over the next month and a half is make sure Watson is in a position to hit the ground running in 2023, you know, and pilot, you know, a championship level of team in 2023. But externally, no question, there's going to be a lot of pressure on Deshaun Watson based on, you know, the level that offense has been able to maintain without him in there.
Tell us, there's something in your phone that you haven't told anyone else. Give us something that's going on in the NFL that we should know. Coaching, player movement, what's going on?
Yeah, you know, I'm just trying to think. Now, you know what, like, one of the things that's sort of interesting here, and, you know, I may have brought this up to you guys before, but you guys have seen, like, the size of some of the coaching contracts in college now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at, like, I think it's 8 years and $74 million for Matt Rhule at Nebraska.
It's unbelievable.
And I think Fickle got
$56 million.
$6 million, okay. And that's not a huge number, you know, relative to some of the other numbers in college.
Yeah, 56 guaranteed.
Then, of course, we've seen, you know, Tucker, James Franklin got the big $100 million deals last year. And I mean, look, like, I think one of the things that's going to be interesting here is just the sort of changing dynamic as far as, you know, like, A, coaching contracts and what they look like. Because right now, the contracts in college are way above what the entry level contract is for a first time NFL head coach. Right. And, you know, B, like, how does all this, you know, sort of Game of Thrones that's going on at the college level affect what's happening in the NFL and NFL owners' willingness to maybe eat contracts to move on from guys sooner? And so, like, you look at, like, Denver, you look at Houston, those are first-year coaches. Are the owners more willing to eat, you know, money on those contracts now because of the new broadcast deals? You know, something that's happened in college, obviously. And then, you know, Arizona's another one. Cliff King's just signed a new contract. Is the owner there willing to eat the contract to move on from Cliff Kingsbury? You know, especially when you consider, you know, behind door number two here for one of these teams could be Sean Payton. I think money is going to be a bigger factor, and I think we're starting to see breadcrumbs in the college level in what these, because a lot of these guys have the same agents as the college coaches. There's some breadcrumbs at the college level, I think, right now, how this is becoming a higher stakes game for everybody involved. And it could lead to some decision making that's a little bit different than what we've seen on the NFL over the course of the last couple of decades.
Albert, as always, we appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the show.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Appreciate you.
Albert Breer from Monday Morning Quarterback with us here on Cap and Jay Hood. Joey G in Melrose Park. Joey.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
What's up?
Certainly ain't me. Justin, I shut him down for the year. Again, Eberflus wants to win. It ain't going to be this year. Mm-hmm. He's got to learn that. Number two, did we hear anything about Aaron Rodgers' lungs? He was worried about him yesterday in the press conference because he couldn't breathe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's his ribs. It's his ribs. He's got a rib injury. It makes it tough to breathe.
I know that, but he was worried about a punctured lung.
Not a punctured lung. It just
it took a bad hit in the ribs.
It's not a punctured lung.
Rodgers did say he thought that he had a punctured lung because he couldn't breathe after he got hit.
That's what happened. Yes.
All right, we got to roll, Joey. We love you.
And you got cash, by the way, $2.
I don't know if I do. Yes, I do. I do.
Bernie'sBookBank.org.
Right here.
All right, put it in the cup.
I will get change at the break.
It's unbelievable.
I got money right here.
Okay. $2, by the way. Right. And it says $2 to 2 minutes. So we're at the 20-game mark for the Chicago Bulls. What do we think of the Bulls, especially after last night? We'll talk about it next on Cap and J-Hood.